It is Sunday the 31st of December, New Year's Eve 2023, and this is the Cats Whiskers podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, whenever it is you happen to be listening. This is the Cats Whiskers podcast, and we're in a very lively Bunkers Hill following the New Year's Eve game against the Coventry Blaze. So around the table tonight we have Ant.
Hello.
We have Adam.
Hello, everybody.
I mean, we have a few other people around and about who may or may not contribute, but as I say, it's a very lively Bunkers Hill and it's difficult to know. Hang on.
Before going on, we should mention that Paul Balmy is also here. He's got something to say.
Hello.
Not by my book.
Well, have you got a book?
By my book.
Not his.
Doing very well, sir.
Yes, if anybody still hasn't got a copy of the wonderful book by one Mr. Paul Balm, you should definitely consider doing that. We've
got copies.
So
it's the better.
Absolutely.
If you buy it now, you might get it for next Christmas.
Whatever happens, you should definitely buy it. You should definitely buy it because it's a wonderful insight into the Panthers' long and storied history. Paul has spent an awful long time on that, and we're probably going to be plugging it for the rest of the season, whether or not Paul is sat next to us or not. So anyway, gentlemen, here we are. It is the last podcast, the last game of the calendar year 2023, and. Things are not going all that well, I suppose. I mean, let's just put this out there, because we've had many, many discussions since our last podcast. We can see that the guys they're fighting. They are busting a gut, but there's just not enough end product. At the moment, you can say that this shouldn't be an excuse, but we've got an injury list, you know, like a laundry list. And so everything's kind of working against the Panthers at the moment.
We're running out of steam at the end of games. You can tell. I mean, we looked tired today. They put everything in yesterday. I thought we were unlucky to lose yesterday. And then, like today, we just looked knackered. And we're getting no help from the people that are supposed to be running the club. So the one that needs to put his money in his pocket... I don't see anything. I've not heard anything from him. I don't know how true this is, but I bumped into a friend tonight on the way out, and he said that Belfast, despite their massive injury crisis, and I'm using air quotes there, they were still able to sit two imports tonight. Sheffield against us, Boxing Day and the 27th, were able to sit a spare import. Our spare import is having to ride the, you know, open a door because he's a spare goalie. We're getting no help at all. Enough's enough. Mr. Black, you need to put your hands in your pockets and give this team something, because they need every bit of support we can give them at the moment. The players are giving everything they've got. We need a spark from somewhere. We need a bit of help from above, because at the moment... all I can see is happening is more and more players are going to get hurt because they're overextending themselves. They're having to play longer shifts. Carl Neal, I don't think, took a rest tonight. How is it? I'm amazed he's not missed any games so far.
Yeah, he is certainly showing. Well, I mean, the stats back it up. Carl Neal is consistently in the top five for, you know, time on ice. And I think it is important. One of the things I do want to return to you, what you said, Ant. We can see that the team are absolutely giving it all. And we're with them. We as fans, generally speaking, I mean, God, there's been some absolute bile on social media. But we are 100% invested in this club.
And 99.9% of the fan base is as well. Don't get me wrong. I think there's probably another rant coming on later for some... people, in the loosest possible terms, with their comments on social media the last few games. But When was the last time you're losing 4-0 at home to Sheffield on the 27th and virtually nobody left their seat at the end of the game?
If we got
a goal at the end of the game, it wouldn't have meant anything to the final score, but the roof would have come off that place because the fans appreciate the efforts and the ability, everything that the players are throwing in. And I'm sorry, I'm getting angry and I'm getting worked up and I shouldn't be.
Well, we'll let Adam jump in a minute so you can calm yourself down. Have a drink. Have a drink. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is a point we're probably going to dwell on for a little bit, Adam. I mean, one of the other things that I wanted to add to what Ant was saying as well is that how many times can you remember in recent history, certainly, where a team will lose, you know, 4-0 and 4-2 at home, where the majority of fans will still be in the building giving them a standing ovation, clapping them off the ice?
Yes, because, you know, we are with the players. You know, we feel like one sort of extended family because of everything that's happened this season. You know, it's, I can't go into that arena and with any good faith leave if we go 3-4, 5-0 down, because I want to be with those players every step of the way. And, you know, as a fan, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. You know, being a Panthers fan, okay, there's been some great times in recent years, but by the same token, there's been some really bad times. And this year has been, you know, quite frankly, horrific. You know, it's been miserable. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. And I think the fans understand and they sympathise with, you know, this ridiculous combination of bad luck and injuries and the fact that, you know, we're short benched and, you know, those guys that remain, you know, we've put absolutely everything into following them and giving them our emotional backing. And I actually feel that the fans are desperate. They're absolutely desperate for this group of players to turn the corner. But we're getting no luck. We're getting no bouncers. We're getting no sort of lucky breaks. And it's demoralising. It's demoralising for fans. And it must be even worse for the players, because the players are trying their absolute, you know, nuts off, but they're getting no reward. And to see that as a fan watching from the stands, it is heartbreaking, because it's not like there's a lack of effort. There is no lack of effort here. You know, the players are giving their absolute everything and they're just not being rewarded. And, you know, as I've said on Twitter, X, call it whatever you want, the hockey gods are not smiling on us at the minute. And it's so sad, because these guys deserve a break, but they're not getting a break at the minute. And it makes you wonder how low we can actually go before things actually take a turn for the better.
Yeah. You've got to think, or you've got to have the belief in your head that at some point, you know, if you work hard, the result will come. Just one result right now would be a welcome relief all around.
It would, and it'd lift the mood around the whole organisation massively, because I've never known a time in all the years I've supported Panthers where the fans have been so invested in a group of guys, wanting the very, very, very best for them, you know, on the ice and also off the ice with everything that's happened. And, you know, if there was a hockey god, then I'd like to think that it'd be smiling down on us right now and, you know, rewarding some of that graft and some of that hard work and effort. I think it was the sort of ex-golfer, the, you know, famous Gary Player, that said, you know, the harder you work, the luckier you get. That doesn't seem to be sort of working in reality at the minute, unfortunately.
It's not translating for us, is it?
Because I see guys working their nuts off, you know, shift after shift after shift. You know, they're leaving absolutely everything out there. And it's just heartbreaking to see the guys. Last night, for example, after we lost, you know, they came and skated around, you know, in front of the away blocks in the Sky Dome. And the looks on their faces, you know, will stay with me for a long time. The players look crestfallen. I don't think they understood how they lost that game last night, because they put so much into it. But a combination of factors meant that they lost. And I don't think they could have given any more, realistically. And they're probably thinking, what the hell do we have to do to actually secure a win, you know, for ourselves, but also for the fans? But, you know, when that win does come, whether it's here at the Motor Point or whether it's on the road, you know, whoever's in the building, whoever's there from a Panthers point of view, you know, we will shout and we will cheer and we will treat that win, you know, with a lot of gusto.
Yeah, most definitely. Okay, so talking about investment, I don't think there's been a season where so many of us around this table have been to so many away games. Yeah. You know, we all love a Scottish double, triple, whatever. We all love going to Belfast. But this season, you know, we've been to Manchester. You know, we're planning to go to Dundee. All the rest of that. You know,
we didn't realise what Altrincham offered until like Christmas last year when Tony, who sat next to me and remaining very quiet, decided we were going to go down, and I was like, yeah, I'll come here if we stop overnight. And then 30 seconds later we got a travel lodge booked and we had an absolute blinding night. So yeah, it's been a season of road trips so far, and long may it continue, because you know, they're very good fun, and it's, yeah, you get to see a bit of hockey, but you get to mix with, like, you know, the home fans as well, and spend time with people that in the majority, I mean, they won't say the same thing about me, no doubt, but you know, we have a lot of fun with him, what have you. But we have had a lot of away games though, versus, I think we've got quite a home stretch coming up in the new year, probably all on Sundays now in our luck. But I know February, I think we've got one Saturday game and then the rest are on Sundays, aren't they?
Well, I mean, we just have to make the most of it. But I mean, the point is, yes, an away trip is all well and good, but you know, do you go to that away trip unless you're invested in the team that you're watching?
No, you wouldn't. I mean, would we have done it last year? We'd have probably gone to the away trips and then stayed in the pub while the game was on. Belfast, for instance, where I don't think many of us saw the second game. But that won't be the case this season. I mean, everybody knows I'm a book.
You are the first in the pub when things are not looking all that,
yeah,
rosy.
I'm a B-U-G-G-E-R for leaving early. I've not done that once this season. I mean, before
I can vouch for that.
Before it all happened, I mean, I was totally, even when we were getting beat by Sheffield, I couldn't leave early because I was invested in that team. There was something about that team that made me want to go. No, we will stick it out until, sorry, I thought that was Dean Smith for a minute. We'll stick it out until the very, very last second, and we'll give it us all. But that, I mean, since that happened, you still see it from the team. They're still going. We're 4-1 down, and we're pulling the goalie at 4-1 down. Pull it back to 4-2. They're still giving everything they can to give us, the fans, something. And that should be recognised. And it, like I mentioned earlier, you look around the arena, there's very, very few people left before the final hooter. We've lost the game. We ain't getting nothing from this. But the fans are invested in the team. And I think the team hopefully recognise that. It's a pity the owner doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, what we're looking at the moment, and we don't know how long this is going to be. You know, we've got Betteridge out. Michaud, thankfully, has come back, because LeMay plays an awful lot better when you know, he and Michaud are playing together. There's definitely a connection there. Dupre last night, you know, thankfully we've had some news from the Panthers that his eye injury is not too serious. Hopefully we'll see him back sooner than later. Tetlow's still nursing his broken arm. And you know, we had Hazel dying out. We had Betteridge back and then he's gone again. It's just an absolute smorgasbord at the moment. So I think Ant's got the point that we need some help. Definitely need some help.
See you in the new year.
But I suppose the one thing to maybe consider here is that it can be kind of difficult to make the replacements at the time of year that we're at, and without knowing how long people are going to be out. The only tangible injury we've been able to do anything about, and that was lucky, quite frankly, is Josh Tetlow. Tetlow broke his arm, and you know we were all sat here going, you don't replace a GB level British defenceman. That just doesn't happen. And somehow Hazeldine becomes available. It's like, brilliant, slot him in, let's get him in now.
And then he gets injured.
He's back, he's been back the last two games, so that's okay.
He's not fully fit.
No, maybe not. But maybe maybe I'm playing devil's advocate, but maybe at this time of year, is it difficult getting people to, you know, tearing people away from their comfort zone at Christmas? You know, maybe some people are at home. I don't know. But I think the key thing is, most definitely, we need some bodies at this point. And I think, I don't know if maybe I'm... Maybe I'm making a statement that is untenable, but I think there are some guys on the team that could benefit from some time off. You know, not because they're injured or not because they're not playing well, but because they just need some time off.
Because they're bloody knackered. But I mean, we were saying it after the Sheffield game on Wednesday, weren't we? We actually had McKenzie in the squad.
Yeah.
On Wednesday. Did he see any ice time?
No, he did not.
And that is my only question of the coaching team at this moment in time. It's like, you've called him up, we've got him there. Even if you stick him on for one shift, we're 4-0 down. What's going to happen? Give him some ice time. Give somebody a break. This team needs investment. I think I said it. I can't remember if I said it on the last podcast. I've definitely said it on social media since. I don't want to see anybody cut from this team. We need help. We need additions. I jokingly said it a couple of times now, but if we can poach Matthew Myers back from his French holiday to win us a few face-offs, what could be? I mean, that wouldn't be the worst thing to happen, you know, for the last 3 months of the season.
To be fair, I think that is probably a point that is worth mentioning, because even before everything, you know, happened with Adam Johnson, we weren't very good at face-offs, and we're still not, and it is an area of concern.
We'll probably say it about Myers when he's 73, and we, you know, we have to roll him out on his Zimmer frame.
Yeah, most definitely. Sorry, Adam, you had something you wanted to put in.
I was going to say, you know, Ant makes really good points about investments in the team. You know, we do need help, we do need support. I would actually say that these players that we have now need support and investment from the very top, almost on grounds of compassion rather than what's going on the ice, because to ask them to log so much ice time, given what they've experienced and gone through this season, almost feels cruel to me. You know, we're asking guys to log 20, 25, and in some instances, Carl Neal, even logging 27, 28 minutes of ice time a night. That is demanding and that's exhausting. And there's only so long you can actually keep that going before someone breaks down. You know, you can be an incredibly well-conditioned player, but if you're playing those minutes night in, night out, you're going to break down, you know, muscular injury or something like that. You know, these guys need help. We're really depleted right now. We're depleted in terms of numbers. We're obviously depleted in terms of, you know, the mental side of things because of what happened earlier in the season. And I feel so, so sorry for this group of guys. They're screaming out for help. They're screaming out for support. The ownership need to do the right thing. They need to look at that and they need to, you know, put their money where their mouth is and actually, you know, invest in some reinforcements, because to hang these guys out to dry and to, you know, to expose them to the amount of playing time that they're actually seeing at the minute, personally for me, sits really uneasily with me, and they need help. They do need help big time. So, yeah. I really hope that there are some decent guys out there that we can bring in just to freshen the locker room up, you know, bring a bit of positivity and a new sort of mentality to the locker room, because that's what's desperately needed. You know, we need to inject some positivity and we need to sort of get guys in there that, you know how to win. And because winning's contagious, you know, it'll only take one or two wins from this team for them to start heading in the right direction. And, you know, the fans, if we see that, you know, we will back the team even more than we have done over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing, you know, I know everybody's acutely aware of the injury situation, but, you know, of the three players that we've bought in mid-season, we've got, you know, Hazeldine, Farley, Dupre. Two of them are still injured. Yeah. You know, two of them are on that injury list as we speak. So,
as I said, it feels like the hockey gods are literally not with us at the minute. You know, everything we try and do, when we bolster the roster, you know, those players get injured, or, you know, we find ourselves short benched. It's such a slog at the minute. You know, it feels like a slog for me just as a fan watching from the stands. For the players that are going out there night in, night out, bloody hell, it must feel like they're trying to scale Everest every night.
Yeah, most definitely. So, I mean, for me, I just hope that the players are aware of what, you know, of how we're all feeling. Because I think, you know,
look around the arena tonight.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Look at how few people left before, and it was a 4-1 game. Okay, we got a late goal. There was a little smidgen of hope. There was a little flicker of light that we might have got back into it. But obviously, you know, realistically, maybe you come back into those sorts of games 1 in 1,000 times. But, you know, I'd say that 95% of the crowd there stayed with the Panthers, were loud and cheered to the very, very last in that game. So I think when the players look around at the final buzzer, they will see that the fans are still with them, and we are still with them, and we will be with them for the remainder of this season. You know, whether we lose the next 15 games, or, you know, whether the season starts to turn around a bit and we start winning and moving up the table.
So I suppose one question, and I don't know if there's a right answer to this or not. Where is our most pressing concern? Is it defence, or is it as forward? Is it the forward lines? Anybody want to come in on that?
Sorry, I've spoken a lot in the last few minutes. It's D. It's on the blue line, because it's unviable to be going with 4-5-D for, you know, several games. Right. I mean, I suppose now we're looking at options, and we're looking at left field, things like maybe Kelsall dropping back onto the blue line again.
Well, he certainly did after McGurty got chucked out.
He did, yeah. But, you know, is that going to be a more longer-term proposition? I mean, he didn't disgrace himself last season, but we were saying last season that as good as it was for Kelsall to show adaptability and go back onto the blue line, it's not something that you want to really be in the realms of doing for any long stretch of time. You know, he brings his qualities to the roster by what he can do, you know, in the offensive zone, not in the defensive zone. So, yeah. I mean, look, you can have a great offence, but you can lose games 5-4, 6-5. I'd prefer to have a more solid blue line and, you know, try and shut games down that way. Okay, might not make for great hockey to watch, but, you know, if you've got a solid...
You'd take the wins, though.
You'd take the wins. If you had a solid defensive core, you know, you look at teams that do... And look, I'm not saying that Panthers are going to win anything this season, you know. Given everything that's happened, I think any sort of silverware is a real, real long stretch. But teams that do well generally are solid at the back and have got, you know, good togetherness, and players on the blue line don't get injured. We're in a situation now where we've got a lot of chopping and changing on that blue line with injuries and suspensions and whatnot. We need to just have a stretch of, you know, 10, 15 games where, you know, we run with 6D who are the same. You know, just so the D pairings can actually get some chemistry and, you know, start doing what they're paid to do. Because it's just chop and change every game, and no wonder we're not really in a position where we're actually winning matches.
Yeah, most definitely. And I mean, I suppose one thing maybe to note, in the same way that Jordan Kelsall has found himself being quite versatile, we know that Joe Hazeldine is capable of playing as a forward. So we do have that in our locker. You know, should what's available out there at the moment be a defence, you know, be somebody on defence. So, yeah, I think I'd be inclined to agree with you. If there's some defensive players that we can bring in, then I think that's probably where we're looking at. So, forward or defence, Ant? I mean, where do you sit on that?
Forward. I don't think... I can't actually put that much wrong with our defence, apart from the fact that we haven't got...
Yeah, there's so few of them.
There's only four of them by the end of the game. Sorry, I was just saying goodbye to people now. And Happy New Year to people. I just think if we had the bodies, if we had the numbers, then our forwards would be tracking back a lot more. And helping them out. I think yes, we're short on DE themselves, but I can't really complain about any of our D, to be honest. So, but I'm going to say it, controversially, I disagree with what Adam said. I didn't hear the rest of it because we were talking.
You're too easily distracted, mate.
We're talking off microphone. We're trying to say,
yeah.
Oh. Hey, look, a pig flying over the council house. I think at the moment it just goes down to a lack. It's not a lack of effort in any of them. It's a lack of bodies and the fact that they're all knackered.
Boring and repeated.
It's nice to make your point. It is nice to make your point. So, no, I don't mean that kind of point. I'm being pointed at by several members of the table. That's not what I meant. You're all pedantic, and I hate you. So, I'm not really sure where we go from here because, I mean, hopefully the team are able to draw a line. You know, I mean, it's New Year's Eve, for God's sake. You know, we're about to dive headlong into 2024. I don't know. What's...
I'll tell you what.
Go on.
A good question I think that you might want to ask is, what are our realistic expectations for the rest of the season? You know, should we basically concern ourselves with just trying to make the playoffs? Or do we try and be a little bit more ambitious and go for, you know, top half of the standings, so getting to the top five?
It's just making the playoffs at the moment. Forget the games in hand. Games in hand don't mean nothing until you've won them. At the moment, we just need to win a game, which will hopefully get us rolling. Get a couple of extra bodies in. Good, you know, like we said, a face-off winner. You know, either somebody that can score for fun or somebody that can, like, take an opposition player through the plexi.
Well, yeah, I was just saying, I think we are distinctly lacking in a bit of physicality. I think we do need somebody who's got a bit more presence about them on the ice.
We've got 6 days off now before our next game, which is, I think it is next 6 days, isn't it? It's next Saturday against Guildford. They are on a high. After, you know, coming from, what was it, 3-0 down last night to beat Cardiff, and then they absolutely hammered them in Cardiff tonight. So we need, I mean, we're praying for miracles. We need players back from injury. I hope Dupree isn't out too long. I mean, it looked horrible that last night. We don't know what's going to happen on the back of Dops looking at the McGurty thing tonight.
I'll be honest. I mean, you know, we've seen bans given for something like that, but I think it'd be quite. I think it'd be harsh. I think a ban coming from that would be harsh. Personally, I mean, well, you know, is anybody else?
Look, I mean, I can only comment from my view of the incident in high up in Block 13. I did not think that McGurty made any sort of distinct kneeing motion to move his body in line and his leg in line with the Coventry player in the skating phase. Look, I might not have a great view, and you know, the video of the game from different angles might say otherwise, but from my position in the stands, it looked like just one of those unfortunate hockey instances where, you know, both guys are skating hard and, you know, contact is made. And you know, we know hockey is a hard physical sport. It might just be unfortunate. I mean, I'd like to say that we've seen a lot of McGurty so far this season, and he doesn't really strike me as a guy that would, like, do something as malicious as that to deliberately injure another player.
No, I don't think it was deliberate, but obviously that has no bearing on the outcome, unfortunately.
I know, because things happen, you know, in very quick time, but we'll just have to see what, you know, discipline, any supplementary discipline Dops in the Elite League want to issue. Yeah. What I would say, though, is just going back to last night in commentary, I said to Tony, who's around the table, and Zara, who I was at the game with, that was the most physical I'd seen the Panthers play all season. You know, it was a really physical game. There was so much happening on the boards. You know, there was checks, there was hip checks. You know, there was a lot of sort of mid-ice collisions. It felt really, really different to a lot of games that I'd seen the Panthers play so far this season. And I don't want to look like I'm looking for excuses as to why we were a bit flat tonight, but I literally think that we gave so much last night we played a physical game that is not naturally a game that we're comfortable with, and I think we might have paid the price. So you know, there's probably guys that are a bit banged up after all of the after all of the heavy activities around the boards last night in the Sky Dome, because it, I mean, there were several shifts that I saw last night where, particularly the ones at our end of the rink, where, you know, I think Tyler Welsh actually got checked three times in one shift, and that just shows the tenaciousness actually of Tyler Welsh, because he got checked over on the far side in front of the commentary bench, then he followed the puck around and he got checked again behind the ice, behind the goal, sorry, and then the puck came further around to where we were and he got absolutely wiped out again, and then he skated off, and it was like, fair play to you, Tyler, you know, you could have quit after that first check, but you chased the puck around the boards and you got absolutely whacked twice more. So, you know, that's the sort of never say die attitude that we all want from Panthers players. And, you know, to say that we're short benched and guys are, you know, spending a bit more time on the ice than they'd like to, that sort of attitude and spirit and never say die spirit is really commendable.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose one thing to consider is that if Dops do, you know, deem it necessary to hand the ban out to McGuirty, that's more games that we're going to be without defensive legs. So I think if that happens, I think Jordan Kelsall immediately is going to know he's got to go onto the defensive lines. He's got to. Which obviously then has an impact on the forward lines. And so, you know, we're just in a bit of a chicken and the egg situation. And so I hope that Dops don't do their usual and announce it, you know, just before a game or something. I hope that if they're going to do it, they're going to announce it tomorrow. So that so the Panthers have at least got some time to do something about it.
Exactly. You know, we need good notice, really, from the Elite League about their intentions insofar as any forthcoming suspension. But it comes back to the point Ant was making a few minutes ago. He thinks that we're in more need of forwards and D. But I think what you've just said there actually brings it all home. There's a bit of flexibility in terms of the composition of the roster. You know, guys might have to go back on the blue line, or conversely, we might need guys to go up and make a fourth line of forwards. And, you know, by this time of the season, you know, you'd like to think that Paraday understands what the skill set of his players are and can move the different pieces of the jigsaw around. But at the end of the day, we don't have many pieces of the jigsaw left, and quite a few have fallen down the back of the sofa or have, you know, gone up the Hoover.
So. Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I think the coaching staff need to look at what... They need to look for the best player that is available, whether that be a forward or whether that be a defenceman, and they need to snap them up and then move around the existing personnel.
Absolutely.
You know, as per.
Now, maybe even Kevin Moore is re-registered as a backup netminder, and can Mr. Robinson play as a forward?
I mean, honestly, I joked about that earlier. I did say, can we just get Robinson some outskaters gear and just crack it, send him out as, you know, a pseudo third line, you know.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. You've got to think left field.
I mean, we'll be mining the Lions if this carries on, you know, definitely. So anyway, gentlemen, is there anything else that we would like to put forward for discussion before we call a close on the last podcast of 2023?
I've just got one very brief thing to say. I looked at the crowds from last night and I looked at the crowds from tonight, the ones that have been announced. Really, really good. Everywhere around the league is pretty much selling out. So that's brilliant for the Elite League and it's really good to see. Yeah.
It is very positive. There's a couple of people. There's a couple of teams bucking the trend, but yeah, it's.
I'm convinced there were more commentary fans here tonight than there were in their entire ring last night. That worries me because Coventry are, they have. God, I sound like a bloody scouser now. They've got history, lad. But they have. Coventry are a team that are, you know, they're Elite League, multi-time Elite League champions. They won a couple of playoffs recently. They're in the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup after coming from nowhere to beat Belfast. And yet, why aren't the fans turning out? And I know, I couldn't believe it when saw a comparison of the ticket prices to find that we were the most expensive ticket.
That needs a slight revision. We're about fourth. So our cheapest bronze ticket is somewhere around fourth. But still, that's a lot.
But we've got three blocks out of, what, 19 that sell on that. So the vast majority of tickets, you have to go with the silver price. We're more expensive. Oh, God. No. Anyway, Happy New Year. I mean, but in all seriousness, we've got 6 days now before our next game. Let's hope we get a couple of the injuries, you know, niggly injuries, back. Let's hope that Omar and the scouting team have identified a player or two that can come in and help us out. And then let's see what we can do. We need to get into the play. We can't miss out on the playoffs. From a season that really promised so much at the beginning to where we are now, and obviously the only team that can beat the Sheffield Steelers is the Sheffield Steelers. And let's hope the Sheffield Steelers turn up to Sheffield and give the Sheffield Steelers a right good going over. But otherwise, well done Sheffield on your grand slam, because I can't see anybody else touching. In all seriousness, I can't see anybody touching them at the moment.
They're in a league of their own. They are.
Yeah, I suppose that is something unfortunately worthy of discussion. I mean, we're not even sorry, Sheffield fans, because, you know, we don't like you at the best of times. When you're doing well, you're bloody insufferable. But
funny enough, that maybe just to mention on that, me and Adam were having a chat at the end of the game today. When Sheffield, those two games over Christmas, they could have quite easily put the pressure on and done us 8, 9, 10, but they didn't. In that third period, they realised they'd got the game won, and they sat back and protected their goalie. And part of me is like, I mean, is it a bit of a pity thing with what's happened?
I think it's
a weird new thing between with what's happened between the two clubs. And I mean, it was very, very strange. I personally can't wait till we beat them again. Can't see it happening for a long time. I can't wait till we beat them again.
But I think, just to go back on what Ant was saying there, I don't think there was any pity for us. I think they were just thinking about their next games. They didn't want to take too much out of the tank, so they left themselves with, you know, a bit of energy for their games against Manchester.
What they did to Manchester last night. Well, we know that when this Sheffield team wants to go, they will rack the goals up. And for whatever reason, I mean, yes, again, the effort from our lot was there, but they definitely sat back. And, you know, in a way, I'd like to tap my hat and thank them for, you know, for a little bit of respect for the way they treated our fans on Boxing Day. It has to, you know, we don't like giving Sheffield praise because we're Panthers fans and we're meant to, but they've one or two people aside, they've almost done a fantastic job, and welcome that. And then we'll see what happens in the new year. But yeah, I hope Sheffield Steelers turn up to beat Sheffield Steelers, and then somebody else wins the league. But can't see it happening.
Well, I suppose the other thing I noticed from that, there was an awful lot of support from Sheffield fans. I know I've just called you all insufferable, but I'm about to say thank you, essentially. There was an awful lot of support from Sheffield fans, because they didn't want to beat us down. They didn't want to go at us. They wanted it to be a more, and they recognise, you know, what the situation is.
Rival fans, they would have loved nothing better than to give us an absolute shoo-in.
Twice.
Like they have done
year in year out.
But there is also, I mean, the fact that they afforded our lot the chance to practice at the Sheffield Arena before that game.
What a nice touch that was. You've got to tip your hat to Sheffield for that.
The fact that at the end, before when the players came out for warm up, it was a standing ovation from the home fans. At the end of the game, when the players were able to skate around and everything, I mean, it shows you that sometimes
bigger than hockey.
Yeah, there are things that can bring even the most fiercest of rivals together, and unfortunately it's taken that. Personally, I now want it to get back to a bit of where we were before. Well, maybe 7 or 8 years ago when we actually could beat him. But
Jordan Fox, we miss you. We miss you a lot.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was crying out for a Sam Hare to turn up tonight. But Jordan, just channel your inner Sam Hare and like get bangers in 4 goals. But it wasn't to be. But
No.
But in conclusion. Yeah, who do we think is going to win everything this year?
I mean,
Sheffield, that's a short discussion.
Yeah, that's a very short discussion. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we called that at the beginning of the year. I think we were quite fancy in Belfast, if I remember, to do it again. But they seem to be on a bit of a road to slipping up themselves, don't they?
No Conway, no Grand Slam.
Yeah, there is.
No Conway, no Cry.
Yeah.
That's a good one. No, I think Sheffield for the league. Probably Sheffield to do the Grand Slam. However, if it's not going to be Sheffield, Coventry for the cup. And you can never count Cardiff out for playoffs, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Or Belfast, because they'll probably spend another £2 million and get another 20 imports in.
Well, that's true, and I think Cardiff have got a really good shot at winning the Continental Cup, you know, with it the finals being staged on their own ice. So, there's an announcement.
Right, last orders. So I think that's probably a fair point for us to call last orders on the final podcast of the calendar year of 2023. So thank you very much for listening, especially the last one. That must have been a fun listen. We're hoping that this one has kind of remedied things a little. We're a little bit more compass mentis, and it's been another good year. We have enjoyed doing what we're doing, and thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being with us. We hope you had a good festive period, and 2024 brings you everything you want except you, Sheffield and Belfast, because we don't want you to win anything. And every other team, yeah. So how about you all just let us win something? So yeah, thanks. So from me, thank you very much, and we'll see you on the other side. Adam.
Happy New Year to everybody that's listened to us and contributed over the course of the year. We value your contributions, and I wish you all a very, very good 2024, and let's hope for an upturn in fortunes and the hockey gods smile on the Panthers at long last.
And?
Much of what Adam said there. Happy New Year. We're with you, Panthers, until the lager end. Neil Black, open your checkbook.
Yes, quite. I'll pick up on that actually, and we'll finish on that. So, if somebody could please convey to the Nottingham Panthers, the players, the coaching staff, we 100% we're with you. So please just keep doing what you're doing. Be kind to yourselves. Keep working hard, and we'll keep on turning up. So, thank you very much. We'll see you on the other side. Happy New Year.